Morning, church. We just want to welcome you in. Thank you guys for joining us online. Thank you for continuing to join us. We want to encourage you to let your friends, let your family know that maybe they don't have a church, maybe aren't joining a church or don't have that fellowship. We just want to encourage you to invite those people, invite your friends, start watch parties, like Pastor Brent said. But like I said, I have the privilege of sharing the message. Our title here is The Cup I Drink. And so I want to encourage you. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and grab them, whether it's an iPad, a phone, or a literal Bible. Go ahead and grab those at this time, and you can go ahead and turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 20, verse 20 to 28. Again, Matthew chapter 20, verse 20 to 28, because some of you weren't listening. while you're doing that, we're going to go ahead and bow our heads, and let's pray, and let's just invite God in. So God, we just thank you right now just for what you're doing inside of each of us. We know that it's easy to miss you during this season. It's easy to overlook what you're doing inside the season. But we thank you, Lord, that you're doing a new thing inside of each of us. And God, help us to perceive it. Help us to see it. And God, we just thank you that you're a good, good Father that knows everything we need before we even ask. And Lord, I thank you that you're going to answer those needs, whether it's a physical need, whether it's a healing need. God, whether we need hope, whether we need encouragement, God, comfort, wisdom, God, you're going to give us exactly what we need. And God, right now we just come with open hands. If you just want to open your hands and act like you're receiving. And God, we just come with open hands, ready to receive everything that you have for us, Holy Spirit. And so God, we just say, Holy Spirit, have your way. Holy Spirit, come into our lives. Fear, doubts, lie, have to leave right now in Jesus' name. God, we just thank you just for everything that you're doing. And God, we just ask you just to breathe life into us and help us to leave this time encouraged and drawn closer in our connection and our personal relationship with you. And I thank you that this relationship doesn't just have to stop on Sundays or on Wednesdays for the kids, but it's every single day, God. God, we just thank you for that. God, I just pray that you'd help speak to our hearts, help us to understand more of who you are, and help us to become more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, well, if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew 20, 28. You can hold it right there. I'm going to start off with a quote by Dag Hammarskjöld. He was Swedish, so that's probably not how his name was pronounced, but he possessed a gentle and confident leadership that propelled him to a position, a high position, of Secretary General of the United Nations from 1953 to 1961. While Hammarskjöld was a highly educated man, from his journal, we learn of his humility and utter dependence on God. Hammarskjöld saw his gifts, education, and his very life as a gift to God. And so in his quote, he includes a quote which attributes to Thomas Aquinas. It says, of spiritual leaders, their lives are grounded in and sustained by God. They are incapable of any kind of pride, because they give back to God all the benefits, like Lizzie talked about in Psalms 103, that God gives us benefits, God gives us blessings, and so we're giving thanks back to him. And so this quote kind of hits on that too. And so he has bestowed on them, they do not glorify each, but do all things to the glory of God alone. After his quote of Thomas Aquinas, he writes, I am the vessel, the draw is God's, and God is a thirsty one. On the next line he pens, in the last analysis, what does the word sacrifice mean? Or even the word gift? He who has nothing can give nothing. The gift is God's to God, sending his son Jesus to restore our relationship with him. Hammarskjöld's quote. But so right now we're going to go ahead and jump into our scripture here. So if you have your Bible, you can go ahead and jump over to Matthew chapter 20, 28. And just to give you some background, Pastor Brent had spoke about the rich ruler, okay? The rich ruler, and we'll bring up, there's some scriptures that we'll bring up from there that are important that kind of tie into this scripture too, okay? But, so that had happened. And then the parable of the vineyard, or the labors in the vineyard happened, okay? And now, right before this scripture, this part of scripture, Jesus had talked about the third time of his death and his resurrection, his process before his promotion. That's going to tie in, so you can listen to that. That's going to tie in with the message, so remember that. But anyways, this is the third time Jesus has told him this, okay? And Jesus, he does have multiple occasions of kind of talking about the same thing to the disciples because they don't get it the first time. You know, like when you get frustrated with your kids because you don't get it the first time, well, Jesus gets frustrated with us because we don't get it the first time or even the third time. And so, but he's patient, he's loving, he's kind, and he's bringing this truth back up again, okay? And disciples, we see that the disciples don't comprehend this completely. And we can tell that because the disciples aren't focusing on Jesus. They're not focusing on the disciples. They're actually looking at it on the interest of themselves. And so it's actually pride that blinds them from this, from understanding Jesus's his death and his resurrection. And we'll talk more about that as we dive into the story. But if you have your scripture, you can go ahead and go to Matthew chapter 20 to 28. Then the mother of Zebedee's son came to Jesus with her sons and kneeling down, asked a favor of him. "What is it you want?" he asked. She said, "Grant one of these two sons of mine, one to sit at your right hand and the other in the left of your kingdom." "You don't know what you're asking," Jesus said to him. "Can you drink the cup that I'm going to drink?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to him, "You will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to my for whom they have been prepared by my Father." When the ten heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Amen. Well, let's break it down. Let's understand here what's going on, okay? So the mother of Zebedee's, James and John, okay? Her name was Salome, and she was actually believed to be the sister of Jesus's mother. Some of you know, you could shout it. Mary. Yep, I heard you. I got you. And so due to this close connection Salome has with Mary, and then James and John having a close personal relationship with Jesus, one of the three, Peter, James, John, who were close to Jesus, we can conclude that Salome was one of the hearers of Jesus' death and resurrection. And not only that, but a truth that was shared and a promise that was shared or a promotion that was shared in Matthew chapter 19, verse 28. And we know this to be true based off of her questioning, okay, because she's heard about this, whether it's from James and John, whether it's from her being there and witnessing it. We know this to be true because of her request. And so, but in Matthew chapter 19, verse 28, Jesus is talking, and this is with the rich ruler. This is after the rich ruler, after they like, who can be saved? Well, it's with God that those who can be saved. But he says this, "Truly I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne," Jesus sitting on his glorious throne, okay, "you who have followed me," he's speaking to the disciples, "will sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Okay? So there's Jesus going to be glorified, sitting on a glorious throne. And then those that follow him will be sitting on the throne too. And so this brings into into perspective the request from the mother and the request from James and John. Okay? And so Salome, just like any of any mothers, she just wants best for her kids. And she's not going to choose any other kids over her kids. And I'm sure some of you mothers can attest to that. I know my mom could probably attest to that. She's going to favor me over any kids. And that's just how moms are. And that's completely okay. But in this scripture, it's a place where we can learn what Jesus has to say. And so Salome, she has witnessed, along with James and John, have witnessed how you are promoted, okay, through a lens of a Jewish culture and the Roman culture too. But in particular, Pharisees, okay? And so promotion, it was achieved by being regarded as one who has power, authority, wealth, or even position, okay? And so that's why she's like, okay, can you let James and John be my either left hand or your right hand, your go-to guys, okay? And James and John are there with her, present with Jesus, and they're like, yeah, we'll do it. we can do anything you want us to do. We're going to be loyal, okay? And that's a strength. We'll start off good with them, okay? So we're not going to start the conversation off. We'll start off with their strengths and a little bit encouraging, okay? So they were loyal. Their strength was undivided loyalty to God, even though that they would turn from him later as he took up his cup, and we'll talk more about that. But their weakness that blinded them was their pride. They were concerned about a throne, were concerned about a promotion, a position, when right before Jesus is like, hey, the Jewish leaders are going to turn me over, and they're going to turn me over to the Gentiles, they're going to reject me, they're going to flog me, they're going to mock me. And what are James and John and the mother thinking about? Oh, what about that throne? What about that promotion, that position? They're not even concerned about the process of what Jesus is have to endure. They're not even concerned about that. They're looking on the interests of themselves. And because of that, listen to this, what happens, okay? So they had no regard for the process, the cup that Jesus had to endure because of their pride. And that's what pride will do. That's what selfish ambition will do. When you seek a throne or place of honor, that's what that'll do. And if you pick up in verse 24, if you look at verse 24, let's read that again and find out what happens, okay? So they bring the request. When the 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called, or they were indignant with the two brothers. Stop right there, sorry. And so that brings me to my point here. In result, their pride, their selfish ambition stirred up division, dissension, jealousy, resentment, instead of creating the things that God wanted to create, and that was unity and peace and restoration and healing. And we'll talk more about those. But for my first point here, self-promotion harms earthly relationships. And so to break it down even further here, there's worldly values of promotion, and they are achieved through your highest place of position, through your wealth, and through your power. But those, just like in their culture that they were in, it led to harm. It was cruel. It was like those that were tyrants. And so they had absolute power over anyone, okay? But the kingdom values of promotion, it was going to involve this: sacrifice, submission, and service. Those three things, and we'll talk more about those later, but those would lead to peace, healing, and restoration. And you see that James and John didn't have those values or didn't understand those values. And even disciples maybe didn't completely understand those values. But Jesus is going to be the first one to help us understand those values. And that's why he's bringing this up. To further help you understand that self-promotion harms earth relationships, I want to illustrate it with a man named Joseph in Genesis. A young man who had dreams of doing great things for God. I'm sure many of you have dreams. You kids, the youth, you parents. It all looks different, but whatever God has prepared for you, you're going to do great things. I truly believe that. In due time, though. Instead of Joseph keeping it to himself, he almost puffs up his chest and is prideful, and he goes and shares the dreams and visions with his brothers and with his family. And what does it do? Causes division. And it causes his brothers to harm him and to sell him as a slave. Joseph was also reluctant, just like the disciples, just like James and John, to the process of the promotion. He just wanted the promotion. He just wanted to see that promise, that promotion come to pass right now, like a microwave. Oh, put it in, put it out. Oh, got it. Let's go. And so because of that, he was sold as a slave. He wanted the promotion without going to the process. That's going to tie into our message here, so follow along. God didn't hate Joseph. God doesn't hate the disciples, but he hates this. Pride, because he understands what pride will do to you. And so his values contradict that pride, and he opposes it, but he gives grace to the humble. And so my question to you in regards to self-promotion harming earthly relationships, what ways or in what areas of your life have you self-seek promotion? Allow God to speak to you on that. I believe we all have. We've all looked at it on the interest of ourselves at times in regards to God's calling and the things that God wants us to do. I think we've all done that. But allow God to speak to you and allow him to convict you and help us to give grace to do what we need to do. But it brings me to my next point. promotion belongs to God. If you have your scripture, in verse 23, it says, Jesus is responding after he says, you can't take of my cup. He says, you will drink my cup, though, but to sit at my right hand and the left hand is not for me to grant, but it has been prepared for those whom it has been prepared. I'm sorry, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father. Okay. Jesus said Jesus's role wasn't to grant places of position, places of honor. Okay. James and John wanted to share in the same honor and the same glory in the throne that Jesus was, but they didn't understand the process that Jesus had to go through. They didn't understand the things that the Father had prepared for Jesus that Jesus could only accomplish. They didn't understand all of that because they didn't even take that in consideration. They didn't take in consideration his death first before his resurrection, his cross before his crown. They didn't understand that. They didn't understand that promotion belongs to God, and Jesus was the only one to walk that way first in us understanding that and seeing that so that way we can walk that way. But in regards to my point here, promotion belongs to God. What I mean by that is this. David understood this in 1 Chronicles 29, 11 to 12. This is after the fact that he had reigned in his kingdom. He had seen great victories, glory. He's seen honor. He's seen all this wealth come up to this to prepare God's temple, okay? And so let's pick up here in 1 Chronicles 29, 11 to 12. He says, and this is a prayer in the assembly. He says, yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Everything belonged to God. The greatness, he understood that greatness, power, glory, wealth, honor, that position, that promotion, that came from the Lord. David had several series of understanding that and submitting to that. And we'll talk more, we'll describe that more in our next point here. And so David was giving credit where credit was due. That promotion belongs to God. All of these things, all of this, it's in God's hands. Okay? James and John were going to learn, along with disciples, what that promotion belonged to him. Maybe not all in one moment, maybe through a series of moments, and it was not going to come the way that they wanted it. It's easy to ask for a crown of glory, but it's harder to walk the cross, to take up our cross to the crown. James and John first had to submit to the fact that they weren't able to take the cup of suffering that Jesus was going to take. He said, you're not able to take that cup of suffering. You're not able to take that. That was given to me from the Father, that I'm the only one that can endure the cross. You can't do that. You can, but that means that you have to pay the price of that sin and death. You don't have the power to set yourself free from that. Jesus was the only one that was able to do that. And actually, them and the rest of the disciples would actually desert Jesus as he took up his cup of suffering, as he walked the cross, okay? And you'll see that in the Garden of Gethsemane. If you read the Garden of Gethsemane, we can talk more about that as we go on, but I'm going to continue here. But Jesus said that after he took the cross, after he led the way by example, then they would take Jesus' cup. He said, and first, that you can't, who are you to drink the cup? Are you able to drink the cup that I'm going to drink? And then, but after that, he takes ownership. He's like, you're right, James and John, you are going to take my drink after I've walked the process, okay? But it was cross before the crown. And Jesus said, you are going to do that. There is going to be promotion in your life, but it's going to come through a process first. And that would be after Jesus did it for us first. Jesus was also prophesying over James and John the fact that they were going to suffer. They were going to have to go through the process of walking the cross. Not a literal cross, thank God. God saved us from that, okay? But a cross meaning dying to yourself. And like I said, it's easy to ask for the glory of wearing the crown or the glory of having the promotion, where instead we should be asking this. And this ties into our point here. We should be asking for the grace to bear the cross on our way to the crown or to the promotion. I'm going to read a couple scriptures here before we get to our next point here, and this will kind of help strengthen our next point here. 1 Peter 5:6, Peter is hitting on this point, and is helping us understand this point. God opposes the proud, like I said from the beginning, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Matthew 23:12. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. And in Luke, it says the same thing. Luke 18:14. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. And that brings me to my next point here. That the promotion requires process. Jesus was not concerned about his disciples exalting themselves or lifting them up. He was more concerned about us humbling ourselves just like he did. So that way we can be exalted. Okay. And so let's pick it up here in 25-28. Matthew chapter 25:28. And I'll share with you my point here. Actually, no, I'll go ahead and share my point first. The promotion requires process. That process is sacrifice, submission, service. I'll describe it to you here in verse 20, now 25-28. Here we go. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lorded over them, and their high officials exercised authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Okay, let's break it down here so we can understand the process that Jesus is instructing us in, okay? So he talks about the Gentiles, the Romans. They're great ones. The way that the world considered them to be great was ones who had exercised authority and absolute power, just like a tyrant, okay? They were cruel, they were oppressive. And actually, in this pagan world, they considered humility or submission not to be great. They actually believed it to be vice, to be actually immoral or a wicked behavior. And how similar is that in our world, that they don't think that humility or submission is great? They think that's achieved through your power, through your wealth, through your position. And that's not true. We see that it, as our world views it, as a sign of weakness. But in order to be great in God's kingdom, Jesus gives his disciples further instructions on the cup that we drink, the cup that disciples drink. But Jesus took this cup first, so that way we can do that. The process. The process will require believers or disciples, like I said, not to achieve or to reach the top, to achieve power and influence over others. Rather, the disciples or believers must follow Christ's example of giving their lives. Okay, that's sacrifice, giving your life. Serving people, service, and putting others' needs above self-interests. Submission. Philippians 2:3-5 hits on this point and helps us to underscribe, understand what I just described. It says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, like James and John, but each of you to the interests of others." Because when James and John did that, they harmed their relationships. Jesus doesn't want that. He wants to create peace, healing, and restoration. And so in verse 5, it says, "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus." That's how we know that in this scripture that we can follow Christ's example by giving our lives, serving people, and putting others' needs above self-interest. Now, if you're not a believer, we'll talk how to do that later on. Okay. But to further illustrate this, I'm going to illustrate Jesus' life, okay? He says, "You don't know what you're asking for. Are you able to drink the cup that I'm going to drink?" Jesus had to walk the process. He was literally a living sacrifice. He had to be the sacrifice. God sent his son so he could be the sacrifice to set us free from this bondage, from this penalty of sin and death. The consequences was life. Jesus had to pay that price, okay? And no one else was able to do that and live a perfect and sinless life. Jesus was the only one that was able to do that. He was the living sacrifice, okay? He walked through the process of being the sacrifice. The cross before the victor's crown. Okay, there were multiple times of him walking through submission, and one in particular, the Garden of Gethsemane. He goes and prays to the Father right before he's going to go to the cross. Father, if there's any other way, take this cup, the cup that Jesus had to partake of. Take this cup away from me. Take this cup that I have to drink and take of. But he said this, not my will, but your will be done. Jesus also lived a life of service. He got down, humbled himself to the point of the cross, but also even to the disciples, washing of the disciples' feet. All of us want a position, want a place of honor, wealth, or to be have influence and popularity. Jesus got down on his knees and washed his disciples' feet. He served. He said, if you want to be great, you serve. If you want to be first, you become a slave. In conclusion, I want you to understand this. Self-promotion harms earthly relationships. The world's way of doing things, of you trying to get a throne, of you trying to get a position, a place of honor, it's going to hurt people. I'm sure some of you have seen that. I'm sure some of you have experienced that. But God's way doesn't lead to that. And so we have to understand that promotion is already in God's hand. Promotion belongs to God. And so our opportunity or our step for understanding that is this, what 1 Peter 5:6 says. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And so Peter says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Jesus walked that process of not seeking self-promotion, not looking for the interest of himself, okay? But understanding that promotion came from God. And he walked that process of humbling himself to the point of death on a cross. And because of that, he is now seated at the highest position, the worthiest position, the place of honor where people will call him when Jesus, he is Lord. Every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. He is the one, he is the only worthy one that can open the scroll of a book of the book of life. He's the only one. He's the only worthy one. The promotion requires process. So Jesus, he walked that process. He was a sacrifice. He was submissive. He learned submission and he learned service. And so he did that. But now he told his disciples, you will indeed. We will drink of the cup. We will have to take up our cross. We will have to deny ourselves. And so now this goes back to maybe you're the first time watching this and you're not a believer and you're not a disciple. You have to understand, just like James and John had to understand, you can't save your life. You can't take up the cup that Jesus took. Jesus took up the only cup that he could, so that way he could give, just like in this last verse here, he could give his life as a ransom. Ransom, meaning a price paid to obtain others' freedom. He paid his life to not get a self-seeking promotion, to get a place of honor, no, to restore a relationship, to bring healing, to bring comfort, to bring forgiveness, to bring all these benefits. He had in mind not this interest of himself. Yeah, he may have felt that at times and had to learn to submit, but he had in mind the interest of you, of me, of in the scripture it says of many, and when you learn about that and what that many means, he means all people. He had an interest of all people. And so the first step for you is maybe giving your life to Jesus. And believing and submitting to the fact that he's the only one that can save your life. If that's you, we're going to have a time for that prayer and that opportunity. But maybe you're a disciple. Maybe you are a believer. And maybe we just need some guidance and instruction. And so for you, maybe it's giving your life, that you are a believer in Christ. You believe that he was that sacrifice, that he submitted, that he served you. But now it's maybe you've just been holding on to a place of your life and you've been seeking a promotion. You've been seeking what can I get out of this, God? And not understand the steps that he took to get to there. We have to follow in his example. Maybe it's you giving your life. What does that look like to you? What I mean by that is allowing your selfish interest in you to die. And three, this is tying in, this is kind of a two-pointer. Putting other needs first. That's going to involve submission. That's going to involve your attitude. That's going to involve your heart. That's the attitude part. But then the action, the obedience is by serving them, service. And I'm sure this will be multiple and multiple times, but what does that mean for you? What others' needs have you put behind yours? That maybe God's telling you, hey, I need you to put their needs first. Hey, I need you to serve them just like I did. What does that look like for you? So I just want to encourage you right now, as we go, as Amy leads us in a closing song, I want to encourage you just to reflect on maybe what God is speaking to you. Whether it's if you did self-promote yourself and hurt other relationships, God can restore that. God can heal those relationships. God can mend those relationships. Maybe it's just understanding that promotion belongs to God. Or maybe it's just understanding the promotion requires process, sacrifice, submission, or service. As you worship, I want to encourage you to reflect on those and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. And we'll come back and join for a time of prayer of salvation. Was that long? Felt like it was long. Oh. So God, we just thank you. Oh. Hey, thanks, Amy, for leading us in a closing song of worship. That was a beautiful time. I'm glad that God is speaking to you guys' hearts, and I'm praying that he continues to speak to you. But if you've not given your life to Jesus, and you feel the Holy Spirit just nudging your heart to give your heart to him, that you can't save your life. You can, but it's not really going to save your life, because you can pay that price, and it's going to separate you from Jesus and that peace and that healing and that restoration with the Father. You can pay that price, the cross, but Jesus already paid that for you. And maybe you feel the Holy Spirit speaking to you that it's time for you to come home. It's time for you to surrender your life to him. If that's you, wherever you are, all you have to do is believe what he did for you on that cross and believe that he is Lord now and that God the Father raised him from the dead, and give your life to him. If that's you, I want to pray for you. And so let's go ahead and just bow our heads and let's close our eyes. So God, we just thank you that you gave us the greatest love ever, and that was sending your son to die for us on the cross, to save us from our sins, to restore relationship back with our Heavenly Father. We thank you for helping us understand that we can't save our lives, but it's Jesus that gave his life as a ransom to pay the price of sin and to obtain freedom for others, for all who would believe and all who would confess that you are Lord and believe that you are God the Father who raised him from the dead. God, we thank you. And God, we surrender our whole hearts. God, forgive us. Forgive us for following our own ways and help us to give our lives continually to you. In Jesus' name, amen. And lastly, maybe you're a disciple. Maybe God's convicting you. Maybe he's encouraging you. Maybe he's speaking to you. Whatever it is, maybe it's you giving your life, putting others' needs first, or serving people. If that's you, I want to pray for you too before we close. So we can go ahead and bow our heads and close our eyes and let's pray for that too. So God, we just thank you that you gave us the perfect example of what it meant to walk through the promotion of receiving a crown. But help us not to get our eyes fixed on the promotion, and help us understand that there's a process. Help us understand, if you're speaking to us, God, to give our lives, that our lives aren't ours anymore, that you purchased that with your life and you sealed it with your Holy Spirit. If you want us to die to ourselves. Speak to us, Holy Spirit, and help us. Give us the grace to be able to do that, because that's not an easy thing to do. It's not easy to die to our pride. But we thank you, Jesus, that you lived that, that you did that, that you understand how to walk that. And you, God, you put others' needs first. Would you help us to understand how to do that, to not do anything out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility to value others above ourselves, not looking on the interest of ourselves, but of others. And God, in our relationship with others, having the mindset of Christ of serving people, that we didn't come to be served by people, but we came to give our lives in service to people for you, God. And so, God, I just pray that you'd speak to all of our hearts, encourage us, and give us the grace to help us to follow your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, church. I'm glad that you guys joined us this morning. Thank you for listening in. I'm praying that God continues, like I said, to speak to you, to encourage you, to lift you up. If you have requests, you can connect on the Connect card. But at this time, we're going to go ahead and conclude just with have a blessed week. If you need anything, let us know. Have a great day.